Going to the movies used to take a while. The standard program might include not only two features, but a cartoon, a newsreel, maybe a serial, and what were often called selected short subjects. Now, a movie audience gets three or four previews of coming attractions, a few other commercials, one feature, and that's it. But short films haven't gone away. In fact, the phrase short films still encompasses an enormous range of material. Howie Movshevitz of Colorado Public Radio reports.
There are animated shorts and live-action shorts. Movie trailers are shorts, and so are music videos. Some shorts tell stories, and others are like paintings in motion. Commercials are the most widely seen short films. One recent series of commercials blurs the line between short fiction and advertising. BMW contracted several well-known directors, including John Frankenheimer and Ang Lee, to make 5-minute films featuring the company's cars for its website. There was a time when all films were short. The first movies were curiosities added to stage shows, says Lawrence Kardish, senior curator of film at New York's Museum of Modern Art.
These short works used to be fillers between vaudeville acts until they became the reason why people were going to the theater, and small theaters were developed all around the country and around the world that basically showed 15, 20, 25-minute programs of short works.
The early films ranged in length from about 10 seconds to about 45 seconds. Kardish says that eventually they grew longer and began to tell more complicated stories. Edwin S. Porter's famous 1903 film The Great Train Robbery is about 10 minutes long and shows two interconnected events running simultaneously, the robbery and the lawmen attending a dance. Movies got longer, but short films continued to be a basic part of an evening at the movies until the late 1940s. Then a federal antitrust action forced the Hollywood studios to sell off the theater chains they owned. The newly independent theater owners had to pay for the movies they showed. And according to Lawrence Kardish, the short film got in the way of profits.
I think that the exhibitor feels that if they don't show a 10 or 15-minute film 4 or 5 times a day, they can have another screening of a feature-length work.
So in the 1950s, shorts moved from mainstream movie theaters to college campuses, art houses, and film festivals. They also moved from commerce to art and joined a tradition dating back to the 1920s, when photographers and painters, including Man Ray and Fernand Léger, made lyrical or abstract short films. In this country, the shorts that dancer Maya Deren made in the 1940s helped point the way to the so-called underground films of the 1950s and 60s. For nearly half a century, Stan Brakhage has used the camera like a paintbrush. He shakes it, unfocuses the image, and in recent years paints directly on film stock. Brakhage compares his mostly silent short films to poems or short stories.
The short story has to, in great brevity, create a powerful moment that remains just stamped in the mind, quite differently than one's memory of a novel as having been lived with across a certain period of time. So, and a poem, of course, is yet a third thing, but it's more related to the short story than to the novel. And it is not just a matter of length. It is that because something is brief, certain disciplines are required that are totally different than going on at length.
In Eastern Europe, in addition to being entertainment and art, short films were also vehicles for political expression, particularly animated shorts. Edward Bakst, who fled Poland 25 years ago, directs the animation department at the Rocky Mountain College of Art and Design. He says that because animation was cheap and could be done by one person, animated shorts became powerful tools for a very individual kind of political dissent.
So since animation especially can be vague and does not have to be clear, it was able to get away with much more freedom of speech under the restrictions than something that would be a commercial animation. So that made animation and arts in general in Eastern Europe very powerful.
Yet for general audiences in the rest of the world, short films are little more than curiosities. Many filmmakers had hoped that the internet would give the form new life. The web seemed to be a perfect medium for shorts. And one film, George Lucas in Love, was so popular on the web that it made national news and became a bestseller on Amazon.com.
So, Lucas, we meet again.
Aaron, you live next door.
My script is now complete. Soon, I will rule the industry, and you'll still be writing line one of whatever it's called.
3XR-259.7.
Exactly.
Suddenly, a couple of years ago, these sites began to spring up, like Adam Films and iFilms and several others, where you could go online and see short films.
Film critic Roger Ebert.
It became an entirely new marketplace, maybe not too lucrative for the filmmakers, but certainly a way for them to reach thousands of people all over the world who weren't looking at short films before. And people began to make short films for these venues, and companies began to compete for them, and you could actually sell your film to one of these places and make a little money.
But that was a couple of years ago. Bandwidth and modem speed made viewing shorts on the internet difficult. Images were jerky and sites would often crash. While some of those problems have been overcome, a number of the sites have either merged or gone out of business. Josh Weinberg, a student at the Colorado Film and Video Instructional Studios and the program's webmaster, says that today the web is often more like a resume service than a theater.
There's not a lot of people right now that I know, at least through this website, that are using that as their sole means of attracting attention to their work. It's more like a portable portfolio, like you can say, here, go look at stuff that I've done.
First, I would like to thank my mother and my father, and also I'd like to thank the producer and the director for this film, and all the crew who helped with my makeup and everything for me to look good, because looking good is very important to me.
Many younger filmmakers seem to view short simply as stepping stones to a feature film career. But Laura Thielen, executive director of Aspen Shorts Fest, an annual festival of short films, says that many other filmmakers are as concerned with art as they are with making money.
Especially as feature film has really changed over the last 10 years and has become a more sort of codified and, I don't want to say formulaic, but almost formulaic in terms of, you know, budget constraints and all sorts of things. The level of creativity and risk-taking that we used to see in independent filmmaking is now actually happening to a large degree in short filmmaking.
And you can fit a lot in a short film, says Stan Brakhage. His 9.5-second eye myth is a visceral rush of colors. But he did not make the shortest film ever.
No, Hollis Frampton did. 1 second. 24 frames, and it is an art, beautiful articulation. Less was the title of that film. And it's not a joke. I mean, it's a real film, real tour de force.
Frampton's film is an image of a person. Within a second, it goes from being an empty line drawing to an inked-in human figure. It's not available on video, but some other classic shorts are, including the films of Maya Deren and Stan Brakhage. And the work of some younger filmmakers is even available on DVD. For NPR News, I'm Howie Mofsovitz.
For more on our story, visit npr.org.